Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
David on writing duty and Matthew on
answering duty.
Answering duty. They literally, you know, they have like a
so
symbiotic.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Beautiful morning up here in Westport. You've just been given the tricks of the trade to about 450 kids. How are you feeling?
Great. It was super to be here today and, you know, to have so many kids out here on a beautiful day at the track. And, you know, they were all so excited and, you know, energetic and, you know, wanted to do stuff. You know, they were full of energy. So hopefully they can bottle that and, I suppose be inspired to, you know, to keep doing it and to, you know, join their local athletic club.
Yeah, there was almost an announcement at the start saying it's great to put the phones away and get outside. It must be really encouraging to see so many young kids like that just going for it. And I mean, none of them were holding back. I think they were putting you under pressure for a little bit.
They were, you know, I mean, it was a very stop start. It felt like kind of running for the bus. You know, I need to get myself into a rhythm before I'm feeling any good running these days. But, you know, it was great to join in with the kids for a run and to see them so enthusiastic and full of energy. And you just hope that they will find the sport that they love and enjoy and, you know, and go after it.
And just for not even kids these days, but we've seen such a growth in run clubs, communities. I know you run the own 10 mile down in Cove, the Sonia Sullivan 10 mile. It must be so different to when you started out running just the roads of Cove, seeing how many communities there are out there now.
Oh, it's amazing. Like, there's so many people running now. I know when I was running, there was maybe two other people who were running in the town, and you knew who they were and you knew what time they were going out. But now, whenever I'm home, you know, any time of day or night, there's people out running the roads, and, you know, not just by themselves, but groups of people, and always training for something. So it's great for people to see that, you know, if you set yourself a goal or a target and then they train for it and prepare for it and work together, that they can actually go out and enjoy it, and it becomes a big adventure. And I think that's, you know, how sport all started for me. It was all a big adventure, you know, the places that you travelled and the friends that you met. And, you know, the running was just kind of the excuse to do it. And that's probably what a lot of people are doing now as well. And, you know, probably young people need to think of it that way. So
yeah,
not think of it as hard work and not think of it as a sacrifice, but think of it as an enjoyable activity that you can do with your friends. And then, you know, you might taste success. And then when you taste success, then you definitely become, I suppose, inspired to do better, and you want to come back and be even more successful.
Yeah, so it's not even about the end goal, just about getting out there. Any advice for someone who's maybe had a bit of a bad experience with running before, or saying like, I've tried it before and I didn't like it, but they want to get back into it?
I think, you know, a lot of people, maybe they try too hard sometimes, and sometimes you just have to slow down and, you know, just find, go to a nice place, you know, don't just run out your door and run around the block, but go to a nice park or a field or a trail or by the river or by the sea. And I think running, you can do it in lots of really nice places. And, you know, I definitely love to go to, you know, nice places when I visit places like, where can I run? And, you know, parkrun is now something that is very attractive to people. And even if you're not in a place on a Saturday morning at 9:30, you can still look up the parkrun webpage and see where they do it. And it's always generally in a nice place, a nice park where you can go out there and enjoy the nature and, you know, whatever the weather, just get out there and do some steps.
Brilliant. Were you keeping a keen eye on the London Marathon at the weekend?
I was. Well, I was tracking it on my phone. I was actually out on a bike ride. It's very hard to get me to sit down and watch something, you know, especially on a Saturday or a Sunday morning when, you know, that's the time to go out and meet people and do your own activities. So when we stopped for coffee, I was checking what was going on, and I was like, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah,
they had
were you expecting it?
Not really. I hadn't really thought about it that much, you know.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, I think it was inevitable. You know, I think once Kipchoge broke the 2 hours, even though it was, you know, manufactured and a fabricated event where they, you know, made everything perfect for him, it showed, you know, what can be achieved. And then I think people started to believe that, yeah, this is possible, but maybe not so soon. I think it happened a lot sooner than people thought it would. So probably the advancements in the shoe technology definitely helps a lot.
You're not planning on running out and buying the Adidas Adidas ones that he was wearing straight away.
No, I have a few different types of all the nice shoes. All right, I call them my fast shoes, and sometimes you need them just to keep up in the park run these days.
Are the kids as well putting you through your paces? I'd say you'd want them halfway through the laps.
Absolutely. I know I had the slow shoes on today, you know, the tractors I call them. But yeah, no, you can't wear the fast shoes every day. You have to save them for special occasions.
And interesting enough with Sebastian, his sponsorship with Adidas, they paid about £50,000 for him to be tested really regularly, just to clear up any doubt that this record that he achieved wasn't through doping. What did you think of that?
Well, you know, it's very proactive, I suppose, to be doing that. And, you know, it's like every time a record is broken these days, you hope that it's a true record and, you know, that the athletes are doing it without cheating. And you know, most are, but there's a few who are not. And so I think it's important that someone stands up and says they're willing to be tested, you know, any time of day or night, and, you know, more regularly than normal. And, you know, we just hope that this record stands and that, you know, Sebastian becomes a hero like Eliud Kipchoge, and, you know, he becomes a household name, and, you know, you see where he goes from here.
Speaking of household names, someone's becoming one here is Kate O'Connor, and everyone was wondering how she could keep up with the unbelievable year that she had last year, and she did that in Poland. How excited are you for her as a prospect?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, Kate, you know, she's been able to back up medal after medal, and, you know, it's a tough event that she does, because, you know, she's going to do a lot of different events with a lot of different, you know, training to do that. So I think for her, it's all about keeping her body in one piece and managing herself very well. So yeah, hopefully she'll hold it together, especially going towards the LA Olympics.
Her coach as well is her father, Michael. Coming from such a family steeped in athletics, you've got your daughters Sophie and your husband Nick. Is there any thoughts for the O'Sullivans to take on that kind of family dynamic and coaching?
No, we do coach, but we don't coach Sophie.
Okay.
And she prefers it that way, so we leave her off.
Too many different dynamics at play
once. No, it's like, you know, I mean, even though, you know, we don't all live together at the same, you know, now that she's grown up and she's off doing her own adventures as she went to college in America. But, you know, she has her own coach, and if we try not to be knowing too much, and try not to discuss it too much at the dinner table.
Do you try and feed through some little bit of advice, or a lot of the time is it saying, I know you need to learn from these mistakes yourself for them to really kind of settle in?
I used to before, and particularly when Sophie was younger, and we probably spent a lot more time in the car driving to different places. But now, I mean, I think I probably have a bit more influence on her when she's injured and things are not going well than when things are going well. And she's learned a lot from injuries over the past couple of years, and she's managed to get herself back. And so now we trust her coach, and she trusts her coach. And I think, you know, it's important for all athletes to listen to one person. Sometimes if you're listening to more, you know, too many people, then you get confused and you start to question things.
Yeah.
So it's best to, you know, to trust and believe in your coach. And, you know, things don't happen overnight. It takes time, and you have to be patient sometimes. And, you know, it can take a few years to really, you know, have a solid foundation and to be able to go out there and do the best, you know, and do what you're capable of.
How proud were you just to see her take on this path, but especially when she made it to the Olympics, becoming a mother-daughter Olympian duo? It must have been really special.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, Sophie, she made the World Championships in 2023, and that was a bit of a surprise. We didn't expect it. She hadn't really planned for it. It was a bit quicker than we expected, based on her progressions. And, you know, then each year she's qualified for the next championship. So that's been really great. It means that you can prepare specifically for it, and you're not running around chasing times throughout the season. So this year she's qualified for the European Championships, and she seems to be training pretty good right now. So yeah, hopefully she'll have a good year.
Someone else will be keeping a keen eye on in the European Championships is Rashida Adeleke. What are you hoping from her in 2026? I mean, she's already had record-breaking run so far this year. Things are looking up.
Yeah, I mean, Rashida, she had an injury last year, so she wasn't able to compete. So she had a bit of a year out, pretty much, because she wasn't at the championship last year. So hopefully she get herself back on the European stage this year. And she was second 2 years ago. So, you know, she needs to get back up there. And, to, you know, you need the evidence, you know, in races to show that your training is going well. So hopefully she will have a good season and get out there and, you know, challenge for the medals in Birmingham this summer.
We had the unfortunate passing of Ronnie Delaney last month. I know your circles came into contact with each other when you were just 17 years old.
Yeah, I mean, myself and Ronnie, we definitely crossed paths a number of times. He phoned me up probably every year. you didn't miss a phone call from Ronnie. And if he was ringing on the phone, you definitely answered it. He was someone I, you know, really respected and looked up to, and, you know, was lucky enough to spend quite a bit of time with. So, yeah, no, it was very sad, you know, not to for Ronnie's passing, and, you know, a piece of Irish history, you know, that we had to say goodbye to. And, you know, he was there in Sydney when I won my Olympic medal. He said he was hoping for the Queen to step up and take the gold and sit alongside him, but you know, got the silver medal, and so yeah, maybe a princess.
I know you spoke and you've written about it, saying that no one's ever a former Olympian. You're once an Olympian, always an Olympian. Is that something that you would remember specifically from Ronnie?
Yeah, well, that was, you know, Ronnie, he said that to every Olympian that he met, and, you know, he was always very upset if someone wrote in the paper or mentioned on the radio or anything former Olympian. That was not a thing. And so it's something that sticks with me, and I'm always, you know, quick to remind people of that as well when they say that, because, you know, we are all Olympians, and, you know, it's a special family, it's a special group of people, and it's growing every 4 years.
And just for yourself, what kind of training are you doing now? When you were speaking to the kids earlier, you were talking a lot about seasons and cycling. Is that where you're getting your fix?
Well, I run every second day, and so then I have to fill in the gaps. So before, I used to run fast every second day and fill in the gaps with slow running, but now it's with recovery methods. And so, yeah, I like to go in the sea when the water temperature rises a little bit. And yeah, I go out cycling as well, and a few groups in Cove that I link up with, and Australia, wherever I am. It seems to be easier to link up with a swimming or a cycling group than a running group, because the running is just too hard. It's hard to run and talk. So I like to just do the runs by myself.
And if you don't mind me asking, what are you running now at the moment for like a 5K? Put us all to shame.
Not very fast. No, I'm not breaking 20 minutes, which, you know, I'd love to do it again, but I don't know, it'll be hard work to do that. Where actually Ray Darcy threw out something there yesterday. He wanted people, he said, for the to break 2 hours for the marathon, you have to run 17 seconds for every 100 metres. So I think that's the challenge for the summer for myself, Rob, and Durville, is to see if we can get to 17 seconds for 100 metres.
Oh, fantastic. We look forward to that progress.
Yeah, I look forward to it too. I'll try up here now before I leave. I'll see where I'm at and where I've got to go to, what work I have to do.
Bit of altitude training on Cropatcher behind
us, maybe.
Sonia, thank you so much.
Okay, all right, no problem. Thank you.